What's up, After Buzzers? We are back for Quantico episode 2, Fear and Flesh. And believe me, I was scared out of my mind this entire episode. Stay tuned to find out why.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, wait.
Very spy-esque.
It's like you're behind a corner like this, you know, right?
Can we just have this moment every time the show's about to start?
The lips and leather.
Oh my gosh, do you guys see us coordinating tonight?
It works,
you
know, so well.
Yeah, it is super cute.
I love all the different colors of lip as well.
Yeah.
We are Alex Parrish inspired, in case
yes,
you're wondering.
Exactly. We felt like we would channel Alex for the rest of the episode, so I hope you guys like the lips and leather. What's up, guys? Thanks so much for joining us for episode 2. My name is Candace Cruz, and I'm joined by all my lovely other ladies with the bold lips.
Hey, hey, Elena here in the red lip.
Hey, guys, Ashley Allen here in the kind of burgundy reddish
lip. It's super cute.
Thanks.
And it's your girl Christine Bean over here rocking the red lip, just like my girl Elena.
Because we're twins today.
Yeah. What is mine?
It's like a
dusty rose.
Yeah.
That's perfect, actually.
That's
dusty
nice.
Rose.
Really good.
Yeah. I'll take it. Well, guys, this episode had me all riled up.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like we had mentioned last week that they had talked about trying to keep a lot of the episodes really news and current and influenced. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what got me all scared out of my mind. I tried to contain it a lot.
Yeah.
But we introduced a lot of new characters.
Yeah.
A lot of new people to the team, the Black Ops team. And then we also introduced a couple really cute characters that I just really loved. I love me some Gracie. But there was a lot of challenging topics in this episode.
Very
so
much.
Yeah.
It started off immediately.
Yeah.
Like I pointed it out, but I don't think you guys knew what I was talking about. They don't listen to me when we're watching the episode.
What?
I try to like
I had my headphones on.
I try to like be like, you know, quiet, polite. I'm like and they like totally ignore me. So as soon as I saw the creepy guy, his name starts with an L. They said it one time when they were looking for him later in the episode. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I saw him sitting at the restaurant and he was like looking around, I was like, this is going to be a attack based on race.
Okay.
I didn't catch on that, actually.
I didn't either.
So that's what I'm talking about. Because then you guys were looking at the screen and I was like, I said, black people. They're all black. And you were like, mm-hmm.
I was like,
yes, they are. Good job. Not for the right reasons, though.
Seriously, I was like,
I didn't catch it either.
I didn't. I caught the bioterrorism real quick.
Yeah.
I caught the whole sneaky white guy. I caught none of the other stuff at all.
I didn't know how he was going to do it. I thought he might have put out a gun. Like, that would have just been. But unfortunately, when I did see that scene, I thought Charleston. Like, what's been happening, which is really sad. But what I also realized, and maybe this could be a talking point, not sure, but I was also a little bit desensitized to it. Saw it, and I didn't immediately feel emotion. And that's why I kept looking at you, because you were feeling the emotion very raw. Mm-hmm. And I would look at you like, oh, like, because you were like, and I was like, so this is really something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that made me kind of sad when I realized I was like a little... this is what's happening.
But I feel like that's like a huge conversation to definitely delve into with this episode, because outside of like it being a good, intense, high and low episode, I feel like there were a lot of topics that they really need to address. And I think they did a great way of doing it so that everybody can kind of have that reaction of why are they desensitized or why are they so riled up by it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think that's the scary thing about what's going to unfold this entire season is the fact that a lot of these episodes, most of the episodes, are going to be based off of either things that have happened in the past or things that are currently happening. So it's really scary just to think that you could be out at a restaurant with your family and your friends, and then boom, you could be dead in 12 hours.
Right.
Like, that's scary to me. Yes, it's entertaining because it's a show, but...
of course.
It's scary. Yeah.
What kind of freaked me out about that was how systemic it was, how they planned this out over multiple cities.
Yeah.
Like, a white nationalist terrorist group, you know, seeking out black people. Even, you know, later on the episode, which we'll get to, how Ryan had to be initiated, was to go out and randomly beat up a black person. Like, it's a targeted thing. And that was what really resonated with me. And in a very dark way, like, it sucked.
Yeah.
I know we did this last episode, but just again, like, kudos to the writers because what they're doing with this season already, we're only on episode two. Mm-hmm. So what they've been doing and how they're incorporating all aspects, everyone, like, even the newbies bring in something unique and different, even whether we like it or not.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm just really excited to see where are we going to be at the end of the season? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, in the challenging topics of, like, the way that they're addressing it, but also the way that they approach it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just in amazement. I'm sitting there like, how in the world do they think of some of this stuff? And I guess that's why they're part of the elite, is that they understand this different level. But just the way that they target little bitty things, even with, like, last episode with the color fragments. Yeah. It just, they kicked up this show a whole notch and a half.
What was your favorite part of the episode that they just caught something that was just like, oh my goodness, how'd you catch that?
Well, I'll jump to the end then. We'll do like, we'll come back to all of it. But when they got the printout.
Yeah.
And he took a picture of that in the frame. And then the fact that they laid out all of the different flyers that they found and realized that it wasn't just symbols, it was coding and numbers.
Yeah.
And that you, if you lay it over a map, it ended up pinpointing the cities because of the like graphics.
Mm-hmm. Because of the positioning of the symbol. Yeah, that was
crazy.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They did it super fast.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
in no time.
Yeah.
That's what training gets you.
Yeah. Black Ops.
Maybe I need to focus more. I think, because, I mean, look at us. We started with the dramatic music. We're already kind of dressed like Alex. I think we have a shot here.
I can channel it. Hold on.
Listen. All we need to do is just sign up for Quantico. We should totally have a Quantico training day.
I literally said that at the end. I was like, I want to go to Quantico. I want to do all this.
We should totally have a Quantico training day. Speaking of, the newbies came today.
Yes, 100%. And the newbies are... interesting to say the least. Jugdeep and Celine Fox.
I love Celine. I love Celine.
Celine's fire with her hair and with everything. She's insane.
I like
she's great.
The thing I like about Celine was I like that they were able to introduce a new female character who wasn't like overtly bitchy or like this is my way, how I, you know, like there's certain like types of female characters that they bring in who would either clash with Alex or. Which that remains to be seen. We don't know yet. But it just seems like she's smart, she's capable, and she's ready to help. Yeah. And I'm just loving all the strong female characters this season. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that the only conflict that they're having girl-wise is the underlying one. And it seems like Alex and Shelby are doing fine.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Right now.
Because
right
they're now. Still trying to be polite with each other.
It's that passive-aggressive polite.
Yeah.
It's that, like, you can feel the air tension right there.
And for the record, we got a lot of slack on social media last week. First of all, thank you to everyone who's listening to us live.
Yes. True.
For joining us. And we appreciate your feedback. And I definitely wanted to bring that up because we were called out for being very harsh on Shelby. And I just want to say for the record, and I'll let you say something too, Elena, like, does girl code not exist? Like, that's where my... True. Frustration was coming from. We're not absolving Ryan from all blame, but I just felt like Shelby, knowing the situation, should have just excused herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
Here's the thing. Ryan's going to get the flack tonight, and I definitely was super hard on Shelby last week, and that's mostly because I put myself in Alex's position. Alex is not without fault in the way that she treated Ryan, but when it comes to her friendship with Shelby, she did not disrespect Shelby. Mm-mm. She wasn't disloyal to Shelby. Shelby was that to her. Granted, she may have moved on. Granted, they didn't know if she was dead or alive and it's been 3 years. That's still your best friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's where that comes from. It's not a attack on her character or who she is. It's the kind of friend that she is, which is very frustrating. And then for the writers to bring that up immediately this episode, that was the first thing I wrote, like when I was taking notes, was they're friends. Because, I mean... I love that they can be cool and cordial. They work together. Alex seems unfazed by it.
Right.
And even today, she's showing us that she respects their relationship, which is beautiful. And it's very mature and it's very adult. But it also makes it harder on us as the viewers to slap Shelby on the wrist. Because it's like if your best friend could be okay, like, you know what I mean?
Well, not only that, I feel like even though Alex is... respecting and understanding their relationship and that they're married, but I don't feel like they have that same respect for Alex because when you see them together in a group, they're huddled up and cuddled up and booed up in front of Alex, and I feel like they should have a little bit more respect for her, knowing that she was the original woman. It's like, okay, you guys are married, but do you really have to be cuddled up and kissing in front of her?
I agree on that to an extent, but I also feel like we've seen another side of Ryan that I feel like he's overcompensating for something here.
Yeah. Totally. And we spoke about that last
time. We did. And I think he's trying to almost prove not only to Alex, but he's trying to prove to himself.
Yes.
Right.
Because I think personally, and maybe this is getting too far into predictions or trying to be meta and realize what he's feeling, I feel like the reason why he went to Shelby is because it's the closest connection he could ever have to Alex.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know she was coming back. He didn't think she was coming back. He really thought she was gone. I get it, but no. And then here's the thing. We all are going to have different perspective on it because we live different experiences. There are some people in certain friend groups who may have dated a guy, and once that relationship has ended, their friends have open access to date that guy, and it's totally fine. Some people function that way, and that's okay. In my world, however, that's just not how I function. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I should be beat up about that. I think I should be able to say, you know what, Shelby, I got a problem.
Absolutely. Agreed. Everybody is wrong in this situation. Everyone has their own faults in this situation. It's just
a perspective.
Yeah.
Viewpoint.
Which sucks. Absolutely. It sucks.
Well, talking about perspectives.
Can I say one more thing about that?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Are y'all not uncomfortable with the fact that the new animation for the show is Alex and Ryan, but Ryan is in a full-blown marriage?
But we don't know if that's Ryan or not, though.
Oh,
true.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
No, so true.
Alex always has a man, first of all.
I didn't
know. Look at her. Ryan.
Okay, that's true. You're right, but the animation has a circle face. That's Ryan. But, yes, I'm here for the if it's not Ryan.
Because it's not the square jawline we got at the end of the episode.
Right? Oh, and I'm loving the new square jawline.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
That shower with a fresh clean. Ooh. My goodness.
Well, we got to talk about him with the scruff first, but I think I want to hear a little bit more about some other people up in here, too. People.
Well, I mean, you guys are here at AfterBuzzTV.com, AfterBuzz YouTube, and, of course, our very own Maria Menounos has something to share with you guys. You guys know what it is?
I think I do. So, yeah. But you just take it.
It's her very own podcast. Come on! It's Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition, which is hosted by AfterBuzz TV's founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secret tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. And guys, it's free. It's free. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe. And when you do, let Maria know that us Quantico ladies,
Quantico, right here.
So be sure to go ahead and check out Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's free. Podcast edition. Check it out, you guys.
And if you're watching live right now, that means tomorrow on Friday, you'll be able to tune in for a whole new episode.
Absolutely.
And listen to it on your long drives, because if you're in LA, I know you have long drives.
Yes.
Just saying. But back to Quantico, and I really am excited to kind of delve deep into this whole, like, situation with the fear in the flesh. So the whole concept of bioterrorism scares the living out of me.
It's a good thing that, like, nightmares are made of, honestly.
But the thing that bothers me so much is that it is such a reality, and I really like the way that they approached bioterrorism from this perspective, because I think so many times when we hear the word terrorist, we automatically think people abroad and things coming in. But what the real issue is what's going on in our own soil, and that we completely overlook. And I feel like a lot of these conversations that are happening in the forefront of America with what's happening with these different supremacist groups and different situations, which I like that they tied both of those in together. Mm-hmm. They're not calling it terrorism when that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what racial group it is. If it is an organized group of people that are trying to impose terror on anyone, that is terrorism.
Yes.
Period. Absolutely. End of story. So the fact that they combined two of these things just, like, gave me chills. And kind of going back to the conversation that you had about watching that first opening scene where he's sitting there, it brings up the question of why is it that we are desensitized to these type of images.
I want to clarify. Maybe I misspoke when I said desensitized. I am a little... Like, I'm a little less oblivious now. Okay. Like, I'm a lot more aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And being more aware causes me to have less panic, if that makes sense. So I'm still affected by it, but because I see it a lot more and it's happening a lot more and it's and on social media and on the news, because I don't have that shell shock. So, that was maybe that's more of a better way to, of explaining it, which still sucks and shouldn't happen. But I also think that it's creating this fear. Mm-hmm. It's creating this fear within that almost, if you are a person who either fights or flee, you kind of have to decide what that's going to be when you are exposed to these kind of situations.
Right.
Yeah.
And being exposed to this whole, like, bioterrorism and the way that it was going through, that's what scared me even more, is the way that it's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, that powder just came out of nowhere, and the fact that it escalated and you died within 12 hours.
Yeah, it's such a rare strain of TB that was being housed in a mason jar almost. Like, that's what threw me off. It's seemingly just something innocuous, but it's killing people at such a crazy rate. And to be honest, I was very alarmed at the fact that Alex and Deep were exposed to it, and as well as
Harry.
I was going to say Charlie for a second. I
almost said Henry.
Harry. Yeah.
Harry.
I was like, when they started coughing, that's when I was reminded of how serious it was. It was all about, oh, get Gracie to a certain place, to the CDC, and get a cure, thinking about everyone else, but forgetting our central characters were also affected by it. And that raised the stakes for me.
Of course.
They made that decision. Remember when they were having the shootout?
Yeah.
And Deep was like, don't take her out. And Alex and Harry was like, F it.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Side note, because I know that Ashley's about to move on. But let me tell you how deep we were in the episode. They were all coughing, and we saw the blood in Alex's hand. And then Christine, while watching this exact scene, decides that this is the perfect time to start coughing. And I was like, were you exposed, or am I about to die? Here.
I had the worst little something in my throat, and it was just
scared me.
And Ashley and I looked at you, and then Candace totally missed it. So she was like, "What happened?"
No. I was like this, watching the episode, like, "Oh my god!"
She got a quick side eye. What's happening here?
Oh, that was too funny. I forgot that I did that. It was funny.
Hey,
oh, man.
I forgot what I was
going to say. You were going to talk about them being exposed to TB and just still...
Is that helping?
That doesn't help.
No, I think what I was going to say is I kind of like the fact that they were exposed because, you know, as we see them throughout all these different episodes and they're fighting the crime and doing this and that, I think this was kind of a reminder that at the end of the day, they are human, you know?
Right.
So I kind of like that they actually did catch the virus.
Because most of the time, they're so larger than life. Like, so heroic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they always know where to be, when to, you know, how to defeat whoever. Yeah. And it's like, no, they can be affected too.
But what I do like is that I know it's a show and I know Alex Parrish has to survive. So I always have that sense of peace of like, she's going to make it through.
Yeah.
She's not going to die. So I know something's going to be okay. Now everybody else is up for game, but she's going to live.
Yeah.
But this whole new character, Jugdeep, though, coming into play with the whole shootout. He is in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh,
not one time, not two times, but like five times in this whole episode.
You had one job.
Right?
No, and you just couldn't. He's that can't get right. He just couldn't get it right. He's an example of the guy that's book smart, but you can't rely on him for anything else. He doesn't really seem like he has common sense.
He's more of a liability to the team than Jocelyn is. And everyone's concerned about her signing. And, you know, it's like, well, she can hold a gun. She knows how to move.
Yep.
She can communicate. Deep's like,
bah. That's like me standing here and you disappearing and me just acting like, she's gone? Oh.
Gracie got shot. And, I mean, I think at this point, we just couldn't take it. We couldn't take Deep anymore.
Oh, no.
We were like, what? We were like, what's happening? And so we're having this moment like, dude, you just are a mess. And Ashley blurts out, you had one job. You just had... And it's true. Like, he messed up so much. But here's what was frustrating. Okay, you let Gracie get away in the field. Fine. Okay, she accidentally got shot because... It's a lot going on. Fine. But when you get into the animal shelter and it's time for you to do what you do, which is be the superhuman genius that you are, this is not the most sanitary place. And then he starts, like, trying to wash his hands. And,
but did you see Alex give him that hard stare?
She did.
When he was talking about the clamp, she's like,
I vouched for you.
And then
you.
He's like, okay, just hand me something. Like,
yeah, like, get it together.
Like, she's a 12-year-old girl dying on the table here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to raise the stakes any higher than right now. Is that you didn't take the bullet for her. Just saying.
Exactly. And she needs to save everyone else's life. So do your job, get it together, and get the bullet out.
He did it.
He got it done.
He did.
He stopped the bleeding. So.
But, I mean, talking about the relationship with Gracie and Alex, I really liked that she finally came to the moment of, like, no more lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget that these kids are so smart. That kids are just so receptive to everything. And some of the stuff she was spouting in the back of that car, I'm like, whoa, girl, yeah. Okay. We're all right. We're grown. But like, her telling her and automatically knowing, is that blood if I die?
Yeah.
That just was like a dagger to the heart.
Yeah. Very perceptive. Yeah.
Mm.
But also, I mean, yes, she's grown. And yes, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know so much. But truthfully, kids that go through the system who are in foster care or who come from lower income communities, they're exposed to a lot more.
Yeah.
So their experiences run a lot deeper. So when you are trying to play games with them or bend the truth, they know that. And they call you out on it. So for Gracie, I wasn't surprised. Like, even from when they dragged her off the bus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She was like, someone got $20 million for being dragged off the bus. I'm like, yes, girl, get your coins. Get your coins, okay? But with Gracie, what was the most warming for me is that she had this personality that tugged at our hearts. Mm-hmm. But then her and Alex had this relationship, which was revealed to us was because of Isabella, which I thought was a big moment for us because we see Alex having some type of fault. Like, her shouting out Isabella when looking for Gracie was a moment where you may need some kind of help or you just need therapy at this point. You're having some kind of separation anxiety, maybe.
And I think that's kind of what Harry did a little bit when he was talking through it. He was like, regular lives are for everybody else, Alex. And I think, I mean, that's so true in the way that this show is formatted, even with, like, the fact that Ryan had to go into this type of situation as well, like, kind of jumping over different characters, just because I know that we're running a little short on time, but Ryan having to go through this whole, like, initiation process as well.
Oh, my God.
Like, that was literally having to lay down your life, like, Alex giving up Isabella and Andrea, and then you know, Ryan having to go and, like, beat up Owen. Like, what sacrifices do you have to give to survive this job?
It goes back to that conversation that Harry and Alex were having that you talked about. Because they're talking about family and the concept of a peaceful life. But in the line of work that they do, that doesn't exist. You can't have people that are important to you because they're now vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's your weak spot to any threat that you encounter. Yeah. Now they can go be like, well, we have your daughter ransom or whatever. So Alex, in truth, can't have that kind of future. Mm-mm. She just can't. And I think she realized that through this mission and having Harry there to talk her through it, I think was really important because we're still really early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, Alex just left that life behind. So this is like still the growing pains of going back to this life and then, you know, being confronted with the Ryan Shelby, everything she has to go through. But she has to, I think, work through those emotions and let that go.
Yeah.
And it seems like she is now.
And I think she's so used to always sweeping everything under the rug. Mm-hmm. But this is like that one thing that you just can't push under the rug.
If you notice this episode, Alex and Ryan kind of reacted the same way to something they were sensitive about. Because when Alex said Isabella, and I think it was Shelby who kind of brought it up again, and she kind of brushed it off.
Then
when Ryan was looking for clues and stuff, and Shelby's like, how are you? And he's brushing it off, too. Like, they don't want to talk about the things that they had to confront this episode.
Yeah.
Mm,
They don't talk about it with everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were the people that they talked to these things about.
Yes.
Like, now they can't.
And now they can't.
Exactly.
They don't have that friendship anymore, which may be the only thing that drives them close together, which is dangerous territory.
Yeah.
What I can say, you guys were talking about Alex and being separated from her life. I did see her be relieved when she was talking to Gracie toward the end of the episode about how her friend found her this apartment so she might take into that. I saw, like, a bit of pleasure in her when she was saying that, so you could really tell that she missed her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what I hope would happen is that the writers don't use this situation to make us dislike any of the characters in the love triangle, but almost that they would bring the women together and kind of make us just hate Ryan. No, just joking. But in some way, not try to make this woman against woman. You know, I would like that not to happen. I would like to be super surprised by that, but where's the drama?
Exactly.
True. I mean, I appreciate that because, I mean, I forget about it sometimes that that's all we, a lot of what plot lines happen is that it's woman against woman. So, yeah, I'm hoping that it goes the opposite way, to be honest with you, too.
Ugh. That would be super interesting. Can we talk about this fine, sexy man that came on our screen?
Ooh, yes. Okay. He's the one new character we didn't talk about.
Mike McQuigg. Which, I mean, I kind of didn't understand where he was coming into play. With, I thought he was going to be a one-trick pony, just going to be in this one episode with the whole, like, white supremacist group, and he was undercover and all this stuff. He looked good scruffy, but he looks better with the shade. Right?
I'm glad he's not a one-trick pony. I mean, it's obvious he's joining the team.
But 2 years undercover
in
that type of organization, like, how do you not lose your mind? Exactly.
Well, Ryan did several time undercover, too. I think they mentioned that in season one.
Yeah.
He has.
He's done undercover stints, and it messes you up. So,
and the fact that they did give them an immunity shot from the get-go.
Right, yeah.
Which kind of made me realize how deep rung this whole organization is. And even the fact that they found that video of Rinway back in the 80s, like, how long has this been going on, too?
You know, that's honestly the one thing I wrote down in terms of questions. Like, what happened to Rinway? Because we saw the FBI storm the white supremacist lair and kind of, but did they go back and then get the company that they're connected to? Because they were the ones funding that. And being in control of the vaccine, so, like, are they still going to be at play here? Because, like you said, it ran back through the 80s. Is this something that's going to continue? I feel like I'm just looking for threads.
Well, no,
I instinctively want a larger thread here, and it's like we're not getting one.
They also had hard evidence that Rinway was, in fact, responsible for.
Yeah.
So the fact that he called, you know, and pinpointed them to the location for the Seoul the soup kitchen location, you know that he's involved. So we need to see that arrest, too. But because they didn't, maybe you will get your...
Well, it's the same thing with, like, we kind of had a loose end last episode, and I know that this is kind of going into predictions, but when we were talking about Andrea and people being vulnerable and having that person, like, those people that caught Alex in the forest, do we know who they were? I know that they were working for the widow, but could it... Maybe I'm stretching it too far. Maybe I'm trying to find a thread, too. What if those people are not only involved with the white supremacist group, but also underneath the widow, and the widow is somehow connected to Rinway?
I'm pretty sure. I can't believe that Quantico is not going to find some way to connect all of these stories at the end.
I feel like they're going to have to.
I don't believe that they will go out like that.
Yeah. Because as much as we love these characters, I don't know that what they have is strong enough to be the only continuous thread throughout this season. Like, I need a larger...
Like, because then it's not Quantico.
Yeah. The stakes have to be super high. Like, that's how this show kind of runs. It's kind of an adrenaline rush for a little bit. And you know, you buy into that when you watch it. So I'm looking for that.
I think it's going to come.
I hope so, because what I loved about the show was the long consistency.
Yeah.
The storylines were sometimes drawn out a little far in the last few seasons, but it made it different from any other procedural.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many procedurals about, like, FBI or CIA or, like, cops or whatever else.
Yeah.
And this, there was something so different about Quantico that I loved so much.
Yeah.
And the characters are keeping that interest for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I granted, we're only in episode 2, but I really hope that I'm not stretching it too far and that it is somehow.
You know what was cool? Last week we talked about how when Jocelyn and Ryan were in the field, she was signing and he kind of wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. So we were like, it kind of takes away from the reality of it. But I love that on this episode, they kind of addressed that language barrier.
Yeah.
Like when Shelby was, when Jocelyn was interpreting at the event where Rinway was, and they were pulled to the side, and Shelby was like, well, you know, I'm not that good at signs, so I don't really know what you're saying, so I'm just forcing it, because I remember watching it, and I was like, that's not what she said. In my mind, I said that, but then I thought that maybe I just didn't know what she was saying, so I didn't say anything, and then she was like, you're putting words in my mouth, and she's like, yeah, I don't really know the language. So the fact that they addressed it and called it out, like, truthfully, we're not fluent in ASL, so there are going to be some signs and some words that we miss, and it was very... It made it more real. It was like, okay, this is true. This is.
Yeah.
I really want you to sign whenever you're, like, talking about Jocelyn. I just think that it's so...
It's just really hard.
I love it.
Well, you also can't see. Okay. I'll sign. This is like it's really hard because I have to put my hands in the camera.
Sign. Okay, tell me. Wait, before we move on, you guys, yes. We didn't talk about this kiss. Well, almost kiss with Ryan and Alex. Eye roll.
Tell me about it, Ashley. How'd you feel about the kiss?
Yeah, I want
to
know.
I'm scared to speak because I think the people might hate me.
I'll speak on it then. I'll be on your side with this, and I'll take the wrath.
Ryan, you need to kick rocks. Don't ever put your lips on Alex again. That's how I'm feeling. Like, hello. How dare you?
Hello.
Are you kidding me? And your wife is outside the door. Oh, my God.
That whole scene just showed me how much he really is not over Alex.
He married Shelby because it's the closest thing to Alex. Oh, you're sorry. I'm near the table. You're
completely right.
I'm so upset right now.
Like, for someone who's so good at going undercover and pretending, homeboy, you are just unhinged when you're in front of Alex. Like, unhinged.
Open. Here's the thing. He thought that she was completely knocked out.
Yeah, like, what type of rapey
Alex,
thing is
are
that?
You awake? Right? Alex, can you hear me? Like, seriously.
Stop.
He was, like, once he got the confirmation that, oh, she's unresponsive, let me go in for
let me take my chance.
So we're going to make Ryan a cheater and a stalker and a creepy dude going in for the kids.
Harry brought the perfect comedic relief for me.
Did.
So you guys were, like, watching it and being disgusted, and I was trying to point to him because his shadow was there the whole time.
He's got that weird...
The weird stare. But technically, he also was looking out for everyone because Shelby and everyone else was right behind
him.
So he was like, okay, she's up. Like, he waited for them to have whatever moment it could have been, which I'm happy Alex didn't, like, fall into that. Like, she checked him with
Don't
that.
Don't ever do that again.
Harry's, ooh, I think he's going to, he's putting MVP. That in his pocket. That's going to come up.
I kind of wish Harry and Alex could have something.
No.
No.
Well, I know they can.
He's like her bestie. I like them. They're good friends.
I know, but I kind of
Is Harry bi or is he like completely into men?
I think he's completely into men.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
He's going to have a love interest this season. We need him to get some smooth.
What if McQuig?
I was going to say, what if Deep comes out the closet?
No, he can't have another one of those.
I don't know.
Don't put him through that.
That is so funny because
don't put him through
he's
that.
The first person that came to mind and said Deep.
Yes.
The fact that y'all said McQuig,
I didn't say McQuig.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
That is not a
Because
first,
that would
no,
be the biggest
no.
twist of all.
No, we're not.
No,
going
he's
there
so
right.
into Alex. He's so. In, did y'all
Can
see
we
the
talk
connection?
About that?
Yeah, oh, yes, go. Okay.
Because I, you know, I want to see it just play out where those two end up hooking up and something forms there, or the show could totally make a twist and have him like stiff arm Alex and not give her any attention and make her go back to Ryan.
You didn't see that sexual healing look in his eyes. He's ready.
At this time.
He's been in quarantine for 2 years, guys. Keep that in mind. He's like, ooh, pretty woman, hello.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
At this point, he's into her, and she doesn't even know yet.
But she knows.
Not yet, because she was trying to go see Gracie. But Ryan picked it up immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
It was like alpha dog sniffing out
Ryan
his territory.
Ryan and Mike already don't like each other.
I think they have a mutual respect after that situation.
Well, yes.
But they're not
Mike saved his life.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. I'll give him that.
I owe you my life.
Who's they were just trying to one-up each other, maybe.
We all know this romance isn't going to last anyway. He's going to be her toy. She's going to have fun. And it's going to be over.
Yeah.
And then Ryan's going to get jealous.
And then it's going
to
blow
and then there's
the lid
gonna
off
be a,
of
yeah,
it.
And then all of it's just going to go to hell.
Ryan's going to be single at the end of this season.
And then what if Shelby goes to McQuig after that?
Then Shelby, girl,
you know Alex would never go after Ryan after he left Shelby.
Before
Sorry.
We get
okay.
into predictions, hop on to the next.
Can I ask y'all a question? when Ryan was pleading his case at the house with all the cabin,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking to, what's his name, Damon. He was talking to Damon, mm-hmm. and Damon was like, you know, Who are you? Where'd you serve? Blah, blah, blah. And then Ryan was like, every job I've applied for, I've checked off Caucasian. I could have checked off black, yellow, or blue, but I would have, and known I would have got the job, but I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Was that a play on like reverse racism? Was it saying like, because I'm a white person, I can't get a job?
I will say that that is an issue, and I think that that's, like, a huge underlying reason why there are so many groups that are starting to come to the forefront.
Yeah.
I think for multiple reasons they're coming to the forefront. Mm-hmm. But because people are so focused on trying to almost force diversity to an extent, not in a bad way, because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think I'm very for it, but I think forcing it in there also ostracizes the other group and pushing them back so that it's almost reverse.
Okay.
Because you're trying to balance the levels, and right now it's skewed, so now you have to push someone down in order to pull someone up.
Right.
With the way that our society is built right now. Mm-hmm. But that's just...
Yeah, I think it's just shedding light on, like, white male fragility. These are straight, mm-hmm. white Caucasian men who are used to being the dominant group in society in every way, in education, yeah. in the workplace, in whatever space that they occupy, truthfully. Yeah. So I think having that little monologue was a great moment to kind of establish where those people were. Mm. And to your point, I mean, I'm all for diversity. And
I didn't allow my brain to go that way, which is why I asked the question. But now that I'm thinking about it, this past weekend, I actually had a conversation with a friend guy of mine. He's in the arts. He's an actor. He's a white guy. And we were, like, having brunch, and we were talking. He was like, you know, I'm for diversity and I'm for the minority, but at this point, I feel like if I don't openly express my sexuality, then I won't get a job because I am standard white male.
Because they're trying to almost...
I can say, though, as much as I told him, I can understand where you are and I empathize with you because that has been the story of my life or our lives for so long. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's not any balance. Mm-hmm. Like before, it was whites on tops, anybody else on the bottom. And now mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we want to diversify. So all minorities on top, whites are kind of being left out, which is still not okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's not okay either way.
Yeah.
And the fact that even like, that's another conversation too, and I don't want to get into it that much, but why is it if we're trying so much to have diversity, why do we even have a check mark, like a box to check mark? Why is there even a box that you have to have a certain quota of anyone?
Yeah.
To be honest, like I've had to deal with that too. There was a question that literally said, are you Latino? There was no other race except for, are you Hispanic? And that was in a job application I filled out 5 years ago. So, like, it is a real thing, whatever race you identify with, I think.
And this is where the appreciation for what Quantico is doing season 3 comes into play, because conversations like this come up and we get to go deeper. And maybe it's conversations that we aren't having at home or that we aren't sharing with people with different perspectives. You know what I mean? So definitely continue this conversation if you guys are watching or if you happen to watch later.
Yeah.
But I guess...
No, I think that it's great. And I think that this show is just very, very innovative. They had to push the envelope after coming out of season 2.
I love it, too.
Yeah,
even just the what we mentioned earlier at the top of the episode, the fact that it was a white terrorist homegrown cell. Because think back, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago on TV when 24 was still big and a lot of other shows that continuously took the other formula of... like white FBI agents or whatever U.S. law enforcement group having to stop some sort of Muslim or foreign-grown terrorist cell that comes to infiltrate us versus it being homegrown and going that way. So even just taking that perspective on it, I appreciate it with this episode.
It brings awareness, it brings conversation, and maybe, hopefully, it brings change. But we don't have much time left. Do we have any quick predictions that we want to touch on before we go off?
Oh, I thought that was the actual sound. We were so good at that.
Really good.
You guys just did it. TV production.
What do you guys have?
I don't know.
I think I kind of said mine already with hoping that the like groups are all intertwined.
That's kind of mine, too. Okay.
What's hard about predictions at this point is right now the episodes seem very... individual.
They're isolated.
So I have no idea. We don't really know what's gonna happen next. The only thing we can really predict is Alex and Ryan or Shelby and Ryan or McQuigg at this point. But I want to say I love that deep, it brought the Indian flavor, and he even spoke the language, so they're still doing that thing with the language, which I love. So now I'm gonna go Google the word.
What was the word?
I forgot.
Thank you. I think that there's going to be more characters introduced.
How big is this team going to get?
See, that's the thing. Quantico before was like a ton of people, and then it gradually got smaller, and this time they kind of started small, and I think it's going to gradually get bigger.
That's beautiful.
I love it. The colors, all the soup, all of it. Bring it all together.
Yes. Like our lips.
Yes. The colors of the wind.
The different colors. We should change up the lip color every week.
We should. Yeah,
I like
fun.
It. Lips and leather.
Lips and leather.
I love it. And I know we didn't include too much news, but go check out Andy Cohen.
going because Priyanka Chopra, our girl, was on there tonight. Yeah. I'm going to go watch that after this.
And apparently she spilled some tea about the royal wedding.
Ooh.
What does she know?
Of course she's invited. Of course.
Because apparently her and Megan are like BFFs.
Yes. I think I did see that in a People article. Yeah. Her and Megan are close.
It just made me really excited.
It's coming up, guys. May 19th.
Oh, my
Countdown.
Goodness.
Countdown.
Okay.
Countdown.
Yikes.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. I know we kind of went all over the place, but we hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Continue the conversation, like she said, down below. Give us comments, suggestions, critiques. Yeah. We appreciate all of it. Like it, subscribe. And again, my name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And it's Elena here. You can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_lay.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Allen here. You can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
And I'm your girl, Christine Alexis. You can find me all over social media at Christine Beam.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Time.
Bye.
Lips and leather.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.